This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled United in Christ, was delivered on January 2nd, 2022. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Thank Pastor Frank. Yes. Wow, it's 2022. Can you, like, the last 2 years went quickly, even with the pandemic and all that going on. And, you know, regardless of all the pandemic and all the scares going around, God's been just fantastic through all of this. Amen? And I look forward to another great year in growing. How many of you just tuned in New Year's Eve? Anybody tuned in New Year's Eve? Yeah, God gave me just that vision of when the Israelites was taken captive for 70 years. And Jeremiah, you know, spoke. He says, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope." Not for calamity, but to give you a future and a hope. And, you know, I think, like, you know, even if God said that, He didn't just go like that and take them out of captivity. They still stayed there for 70 years. And I'm thinking, like, a lot of those people might have heard this from Jeremiah, but then they still stayed in captivity. And I think a lot of them, probably most of them, never made it back to their homeland. Even if God said, "I'll give you a future and a hope and not for calamity." So I think, you know, why would this happen? And it happened because they were so corrupt. They were worshiping idols. They probably worshiped idols from the time they left Egypt. And when they came into the promised land, because they didn't destroy everything, there were idols there that probably fell into their culture and they started worshiping. So God took them away for 70 years. 70 years. And then in Jeremiah 24:7, it says that He did that so that when they would return with all their heart. And I was thinking, like, wow, what if this COVID thing was for us to put away all the idols to worship God? Yes, He could take it away like that, but would we go back to our old lifestyle, worshiping other things other than God? So hopefully God doesn't have to keep us here for 70 years. Hopefully we can learn, catch on quickly so that we can return to God with all our hearts. And when He gave me that vision, I was like, wow, maybe that's what COVID is here for. So that when it's gone and we're clear, we would return to God with all our hearts. And I said, like, wow, thank you, God, for that revelation of what you gave me. Well, here we are, 2022. You know, COVID is still here. I mean, 2 years of restrictions, and we're kind of getting used to all the things going on. How many of you walk into the grocery store, and it's like, oh, I forgot my mask? Yeah? Got to go all the way back to your car, right? I see people take two steps in the store and then security, "Hey, whoa, 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 your mask." The guy goes, "Oh, shoot, turn around, run back to the car." We're getting used to that. Sometimes if I take a different car and I don't have mask, I'm like, oh, man, I cannot go nowhere. So I try to keep one handy in my backpack or somewhere so that, you know, because if you don't have a mask, it's just like, what do you do? Take off your shirt and tie it around your face? You know how men, we take off our shirt, we put the head opening over here, and we tie the sleeves around our head, and we look like ninja. You know, but if you're a female, well, sorry, you cannot do that. You get arrested. But, you know, it's been challenging the last 2 years, and we're getting used to doing things in a new way. A new Zoom. How many of you, like, fall asleep doing Zoom meetings? Yeah? Good thing, yeah? Sometimes, how many of you turn off your camera doing Zoom meetings? Yeah, or get the fake picture of you, just a picture of you standing up there so they're not seeing you eating and you fall asleep. I fell asleep in one of our meetings once and my camera wasn't on. I was like, thank God. Yep. And so, you know, we're going through this and we made our adjustments. We do things differently. But we cannot let it stop us from growing, from drawing closer to God, from discipling people, from doing our daily devotions. I think for us as New Hope East Hawaii, we always pray before service and during the week, we pray that you would keep us safe from COVID, that we would not be the cause of the spread, but you would help us to be the cure. And I think when it started in like February, March of 2020, they told us that we cannot meet in person. So we went online for about maybe a month or 6 weeks, and then they said we are exempt because, you know, for one thing, we are a religious place, and more so because we're outdoors, which is even better yet. So we only actually not meet in person for like 6 weeks. We did it online. And for some of you, that's hard. If I had to do church online, man, I'd probably be drifting far away because I have a very short attention span. And if I had to do, like I said, if I had to do church online, I would probably have the thing going on loud or maybe put it on my TV screen and then be cooking bacon in the kitchen, right? And eating. And then, I got to go bathroom. How many of you would dare to get up right now and go use the bathroom? Kind of like everybody going to be looking at you, right? Yeah, better they look at you than they look at me. But yeah, so it's so hard for me to do things like that. And we have to adjust. How many of you, like, sick and all, you would go to work? Yeah, I mean, we're like the old school guys. I mean, I preached up here through fever, chills, sore throat, runny nose, runs and all. Too much information, but yeah. You know, nothing would stop me from coming up here and delivering God's word. And because every time something would happen, I'd say, oh, the devil doesn't want you to hear the message. See, he's distracting us now. He's so sneaky. So I would come here no matter how bad I was feeling. But now things are changing. I need to be responsible. And if I love you enough, if I do have sore throat, fever, sniffles, coughing, then I need to say, you know what, Pastor Aaron, you got this message because I don't want to spread the germs. We have a COVID-19 emergency sermon folder in case. And I think out of all the speakers I got two in there. Two. You know who I'm talking about. So we need to get that filled up so that in the event that I would not be feeling well, I cannot show up here because you know when I talk, I spit. That's why the front row is empty. Right? Only the brave sit in the front. So we have to make an adjustment. So if you're feeling sick, then you got to stay home and watch online. We had to shift. We had to make adjustments, you know. But we cannot stop meeting. We need to come back together as the body of Christ. We got to think of new ways to reach the people. And I challenge our Jennifer, who's doing our children's ministry and youth. I said, we cannot let this stop us from teaching our children and our youth. So the first Sundays of the month, the children and youth are going to be in here. And the rest, they're going to be having children's ministry. So we still need teachers. Because this is, like I said, if the devil can get us to stop teaching our children, he'll get the whole generation. It's like, ah, I got them to stop teaching Sunday school because of COVID. Now I got this whole generation, because they don't want to sit in here. They don't want to listen to me. They want to learn Sunday school in a different way. So, you know, we need to step it up, and we need to do that. You know, I cannot imagine myself standing before God and blaming COVID for losing a generation under my watch. I need to make sure that we do all we can to reach the children. So that's part of what we're going to start this year. We're going to really dive into teaching our children. And this is one of the things that, you know, not anything to do with today's message, but this is what God gave me the other day. I was reading, and man, if you're not reading with us, get on board. Open it up. We're on Genesis and Luke. Luke 2, Genesis maybe 3 to 5, I think, today. And I was reading about Noah and how God seen that the men were just wicked. Everybody was wicked, evil. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry that I created mankind, because they're so evil. But he found Noah. Noah walked blamelessly. I think, what, with all the corruptness and all the evil on earth, only one guy that was found to be walking blamelessly? So I thought, what? How did Noah be found blameless? So I think, oh, he must have had good parents and good grandparents and good great parents from Adam all the way down to his generation. Because how else would he stay blameless? So it made me think, man, how many of us are living, breathing the Bible and living like that before our children, so that they would see God working in our lives, so that one day they will find your children blameless, walking the earth blamelessly? And it's like, wow. So that's what God put on my heart, that we need to get this children's thing going really quick, so that our children can learn to walk blamelessly. And that another thing that I got was, I read a little bit ahead some days, because sometimes you get into the Bible, you just cannot put it down because it's so exciting. Sometimes, yeah, some parts you kind of like, oh, why I gotta read all these names and stuff like that. But you know, when I read the names, and I grumbled to the Lord, why do I have to read these names? And the Lord said, you know, Shiroma. Well, they call me Shiroma when I'm getting, you know, corrected. You need to, these are the names of the people in your church. You better get to know them. Oops, I shut up my mouth and I read. So in Genesis 11:6, behold, there are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they propose to do will be impossible for them. So they were all united. Right? And they felt that they didn't need God. And they were building a tower to reach heaven. Now, not that they could actually build a tower high enough to reach heaven. Right? They were, you know, they were building, right, the Tower of, yeah. And maybe that's why they call it Babbling Brook, you know, because you cannot understand what they're saying. So they were doing this to make a monument to their abilities, not to honor or worship God. So God caused them to speak in different languages. So my application was getting the people all of united. It's not easy, because everybody wants to have their own opinion. That's why we got different denominations, because somebody wasn't happy with this denomination. I'm going to start my own. Yeah? So getting the people united is not easy. That's why I ask us to read together, so that we can be united in that sense, reading the Bible together, the same things. Yeah, and I need to make sure that we use our unity to worship God and serve Him and not ourselves, like when they were building this tower. And my prayer was, Lord, please help me to unite our church so that we can be a force for You. So that was my devotions, and that just confirms my message today. You know, who are we? What is, number one, what is our identity? What, as people of New Hope East Hawaii, what is our identity? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, you have your Bibles with you. Anybody brought their Bible? Who brought their Bible? Hold it up. All right, I see phones going up. Yeah, hey, I encourage you, bring your Bible. If you don't bring your Bible, bring your phone with the Bible app on it so that we can read. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I would ask that you would read that with me. Ready? Go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. So you are a new creature. You know, if you have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, then Paul, who wrote us, tells us that we are a new creation. We are a new creation, some versions say. Here's what I believe that he is trying to tell us. You and I, when we say yes to the Lord, we are made new in Christ. We are no longer trapped in the old sinful lifestyle. We still sin, but we're not doing it purposefully. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can have this relationship with God through Christ. We are washed clean. So we are now in Christ. Christians, followers of Christ. And that is how we are identified. And hopefully the world knows that we are not conforming. We're not bending with the world, but we are following God. So we are a new creature. We are our identity in Christ. And now, the next bullet point, we are children of God. We truly are. John 1:12 tells us, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. We are made new. We are also called children of God. We need to adjust our attitude to know, to understand, and practice these new, that we are new creation, a new creature, and we are children of God. I think in the last 2 years, 3 years maybe, things have changed, and we may have forgotten our identity. We have become Republicans or Democrats, or even more currently, we have become vaccinated or unvaccinated. And we let these identify us, and we let these divide us. And what happens when we are divided? We are separated from the herd. The enemy will come in and he will attack. The devil tried to use 9/11 to divide us and make us fall, but it drew us together. The day after that, churches were full. That didn't work. It backfired. So now he's trying to use this to separate us. But so, you know, if you read the Bible, these guys in the New Testament, they had the same issues going on. In Galatians 6:15, they were fighting. For neither is circumcision anything, or nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. So the devil was spitting it up. Oh, you are circumcised? Yes, you're welcome. Oh, you're uncircumcised? No. You cannot come by Jesus. No. Because you're the heathens. You're uncircumcised. You're You're the Gentile guys. So they were like, what do we do? So, you know, Paul was telling them, you know, here's what the message paraphrases. It's easy to get caught up in the externals. Beware of those who emphasize actions that we should or shouldn't do with no concern for the inward connection of the heart. Living a good life without an inward change leads to shallow and empty spiritual walk. What matters to God is that we be completely changed from the inside out. In Galatians, again in 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For all, for you are all one in Christ. You are all one in Christ, a new creation, children of God. We are one in Christ. We're not Okinawan, Japanese, Filipino, Hawaiian, you know, Caucasian. We're one in Christ. We're not vaccinated, unvaccinated, Democrat or Republican. We're one in Christ. And what was going on was back then they were categorizing people. You know, oh, the Jewish people, that's the chosen race. Oh, Greeks, no, you cannot even come in the temple. Samaritans, oh, you're the worst ones. You're a mixed breed. You know, back then, the Jews couldn't mingle with the Samaritans. It was like unheard of. But Jesus broke down all those walls, as he does today. Some Jewish meals greeted the new day by praying, Lord, I thank you that I'm not a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. You know, it's like, they had things trying to divide the church back then. Same like the devil is doing today. The devil has the same mission statement, kill, steal, and destroy. And he was doing back then what he's trying to do today. But he's using different measures. You know, and one of the things we got going good in Hawaii is like, you know, the racial barriers don't exist. I don't see them here. When you go to the mainland, you know, if you go east, I went east one time and all the way on the East Coast, and I was in a hotel and I noticed that the dark-skinned people all work below the first floor and all the light-skinned people worked above. And I was thinking like, how is that? There was like a division. I helped a man one time carry, you know, like local people. You see somebody at the rent-a-car bus with 5 bags and one guy. You go and grab some bags and help them put them in the bus. And I did that, and everybody stopped, and they just stared at me. Like, why are you helping this man? Well, that's what we do, right? And that's what I did. And people stopped and looked at me. It's like, sorry, but that's how we do it in Hawaii. We help each other out no matter what color our skin is. Yeah, so from the beginning, the devil is trying to separate us. Separate us from God. Separate us from our walk, our path. He's trying to get our path to, like, walking with God. He's trying to get our path to just be 1 degree off, because if it's 1 degree off today, at the end of the year, it might be 10 or 15 degrees off. Circumcision separated the Jews from the rest of the people. It was a big deal back then. But when Jesus came, it became more important to identify with Christ than circumcision or uncircumcision, Jew, Greek, Samaritan, or whatever else. So is it today? It is more important that you and I be identified with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our identity shouldn't be anything else. circumcised, uncircumcised, Democrat, Republican, vaccinated, unvaccinated, you know, male, female. We are one in Christ. And it should, Christ, Jesus Christ, should unite us. Amen? So number two, we are united by a common person, a purpose. In Mark 12:30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That should unite us. The purpose, Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Two things that should unite us. Love that we have for God and others, and the assignment he called us to. You know, there are so many things that are trying to divide us, to distract us, to pull us away from a meaningful relationship with God. And it can be so easy to allow things to move us in a direction away from God. That is why I encourage you to read your Bible daily, because it makes a big difference. That's why instead of doing Bible trivia, we're having people share their devotions to let you know that, hey, we are reading together, and it's not hard. It's not rocket science. You read, and something is going to just pop into your mind. You write scripture, observation, application, prayer. You need help? Let us know. We'll gladly help you. Because if we can get you to read your Bible daily, 2 Timothy 3:16, one of my favorite scriptures, says, all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It teaches us. The entire Bible was written to teach us, to encourage us, to unite us, to give us weapons against the enemy. But if we never read, understand, apply, what good will it do? In Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. Sometimes we make our spouse read the Bible and tell them, oh, what you got? It was written for your instruction. You don't want to need help. I'm good. Yeah. So that through perseverance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. Man, the Scripture gives us so much hope. The Bible wasn't written for God, but it was written for you and me. And for even for that person who has yet to hear of it. As we begin 2022, my prayer is that we would be united, because we are new creatures in Christ, children of God, motivated to take this gospel to the unsaved, united by our love for God and our assignment. We cannot let things divide us, because that is exactly what the devil wants. We shall not let him get his way. Sometimes I get people ask me, oh, were they vaccinated? I say, don't even ask. If they want to tell you, they will tell you. Right? And if you got vaccinated, what you worrying about? You vaccinated, right? It's the guys who, you know, and so if you gotta ask, no ask. Because when you ask, it kind of like, oh, wow, why you gotta ask? Well, you like, so you're not gonna hang around with me now, because I'm not, so who cares? I hang around with plenty of people, vaccinated on, and I don't know if they're all, so I don't care, because I'm united with them through Christ Jesus. We are children of God. We are brothers and sisters. And I'm not going to let anything that the devil wants to try and divide us, to separate me. In Philippians 1:27, it says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, it's important that we go through life, especially this tough season, united as one. We are called Christians. We are not called Jews or Greeks, Caucasian, Hawaiians, Orientals. We are Christians. We are children of the King, children of God. Amen? Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. We are one. We are the body of Christ. Now imagine that as the body of Christ, if we were divided, you cut off your arm, you cut off your leg, that wouldn't work. And John 15 is a good chapter to read about being connected. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So can we just make that extra effort as we go through this to draw closer to God, to stay united as Christians? Not, oh, you're a Democrat or you're a Republican. You voted for him. I didn't vote for her. You know, no, it's not the point. Followers of Christ, I am a Christian. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Oh, we get communion too. Yay! I'm going to ask Pastor Aaron doing communion. Who's doing communion? I got it. Oh, Pastor Frank, we get to see you a couple times today. You know, Pastor Frank is the chaplain at the racetrack. And because there's no races right now, we get to have him more often. But as soon as the races start up, that's his church. So if you have a race car, then you hear church down at the racetrack. He gets to pray for the guys right at the Christmas tree before the lights turn green. And one day soon, he's going to marry somebody at the Christmas tree. That'll be so cool. Yeah.
That'll be good.
All right.
Hey, thank you, Pastor, for that message. Thank you, Pastor Scott. Take your time. Listen, I wasn't supposed to do communion. I had announcements, and then I was looking at the schedule, and Pastor Aaron looked at it. I said, I'll do it, no problem. But it was, here's the thing. Sitting there, and I was listening, I was multitasking, which I'm not really good at. But God was like pounding on me here, and so I'm gonna see if God can kind of, what's that? Yeah, give me a minute. I'm gonna weave this together. There's a couple things that were going through me. So, right, we changed up. We shifted from the Bible trivia to the devotions, and so I'm gonna model something for you as we go along. That soap, that SOAP. But here's the thing: for communion, right? Did everybody get their elements? Yes. If anybody needs, put your hand up so we can get it to you. Do you need, or we're good? We're all good. Okay, nobody's hands are up. All right, hold on to those. Before, don't open them yet. If you did, that's okay. No worries. No penalties. So listen, in Scripture, right? I think there's four references for communion: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 Corinthians. And is there one in Acts? No, just those four. So what I was doing is, looking, and I'm trying to set this for you because in January here, if you look at the Bible reading plan, I think it's January 23rd and 24th. So somewhere in there, we hit Luke 22. So that's where I'm going to pull communion from. So if you have your Bibles, I'm in Luke 22, where it speaks about the Lord's Supper is instituted. And so part of it is, I'm trying to help you out on your readings here. So if you don't know, right, they're celebrating Passover. Passover is when there was Passover. The Egyptians had the Israelites. There was slavery going on. Passover was that last night where the Spirit of the Lord was coming through and plenty of people was make. But what I don't know if you know, there were four cups of diluted wine that were done at Passover during the Passover Cedar, you know, during that meal. There's four cups. So when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or Corinthians, where it says the cup was passed. There were four cups. There's a process that was done, very ritualized. That's sort of important. But in Luke, when we're talking on there, let me just read through that. So it starts off, Jesus says, he had taken the cup and given thanks, and he said, take this and share it amongst yourselves. There's the first cup. He's not going to drink of that. And then when he'd taken some bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he gave it. This is my body, which is given for you in remembrance of me. So we'll go ahead, you can open this up. We'll take the bread now. So that's this part, right? So we got the bread. We're all familiar with this part. Christ took that part. So let's go ahead and we can have this. And then the Lord took another cup. And he said, take this cup, it will be poured out for you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shared for you. So we can go ahead, open this thing up. Don't spill. It's like a juice cup. Yeah, if you squeeze it and pull, I'm going to get it on me. I know, yeah. Good thing not white today. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. So that's our participation in remembrance of Passover meal. But what I want you to understand is if you go backwards, okay, and we go into Exodus chapter 6, this explains where the four cups come from. So it's the four promises of deliverance that God gave. So I'm going to read right for Exodus chapter 6. So this is your S. This is your soap. Here you go. My observation is, there's the scripture. The observation is these are the four promises of deliverance that God makes to the Israelites. That's my observation. And it said, let me make sure I get to the right one. Therefore the sons of your, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their bondage. I will redeem you and I will take you. Those are the four cups that God promises the Israelites. Okay, so that's why there's four cups in Passover. So that's the observation, S-O. My application is that we have a new year. We're coming out from a sort of a bondage inside of this pandemic and stuff. And Pastor Scott's message on unity, God just gave us a blueprint, four things of unity that he's promising us. And my application is I want to take that, and wherever I have influence in my circle, I want to try to apply those things. Who can I look to so that I can bring them out from something that they're under, or where I might be able to help deliver them from something, or I might be able to redeem them with a kind word, or I might be able to have to like move with it. Sometimes it's like, hey, Mr. Frank, are you busy? No, what's up? Hey, we got to get so-and-so over to the library. Can you take the kids? I can take them. I can do that. So simple things like that. So that's my application. And my prayer would be, Lord God, I thank you for your word, Lord, and I ask that each of us be able to take these four cups, these deliverance, these promises, the expectations you've given us, and apply that in our life with our spouse and our family, with our work, and with our friends. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So that's how you do soap. It's that simple. So don't be scared, okay? It's easy stuff. Anyway, I'm done running my mouth. We ready? Amen. Pastor Aaron?
Ready.
Okay, we're going to close up. Let's
Thank you, Pastor Frank. Well, would you stand with us? And let's take it out this day, giving glory to the Lord. Amen?
Been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we are recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeasthawaii.com.